Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
Left chop, right hand! Deontay Wilder! All over Fury!
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
Thank you, Pedro. You gonna run tomorrow?
I'll be right. You gonna run tomorrow morning?
5:30.
I'm leaving tomorrow at 10. I'll run with you tomorrow morning.
Okay, babe.
Pedro Fernandez.
You asked me how well did he fight? I don't know, but I can tell you one thing. He punched good.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar Sports Byline Studios in the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Welcome to the longest running fight show in history. My name is Pedro Fernandez. For the next hour, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and like a thousand other internet platforms. We're talking boxing and mixed martial arts. Straight up, of course, tonight, the sting is on. The con of the century. That's right. If you thought Robert Redford and Paul Newman pulled off the con of the century in that movie The Sting back in 1973, you were wrong. Tonight, the con is on. I'm talking about Mike Tyson and fat-ass Roy Jones. What the hell was that? If I was Roy Jones, I would have weighed in with a shirt on. I mean, he did. What a disgrace. Anyway, the bottom line is the farce is about 8 hours away. If you're willing to pay for this, call me up and tell me why. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Call me up. Please tell me why you want to buy this and why the intrigue is there. Why is the curiosity there with some 52-year-old guy that looks like he's been taking some type of Flintstone vitamins? I'm not talking about Roy Jones. I'm talking about Mike Tyson. Then you've got Roy Jones looking as fat as he is. I'm telling you, Scott Cuddy's in better shape than Roy Jones. I kid you not. Look, I'm in better shape than Roy Jones. In fact, a lot of people are in better shape than Roy Jones. Roy Jones was a disgrace to boxing, and of course, I think the con will go down tonight. They'll make some money, but like in the old days, folks, it's an exhibition. That's not a fight. It's an exhibition. If you're willing to pay for an exhibition, what could I say? The con is on. P.T. Barnum was right. There is a sucker born every minute. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
This is easy. I have the belief. I have the desire. I'm the greatest fighter since the conception of God.
My trademark was my speed, but I can do it all.
The difference between you and me, that is my death by die, I do miss.
A man for man, nobody can match me.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I'm just ready to get it on and crush this guy's skull.
You know, the comeback trail in boxing for professional boxers has always been, you know, you come back when you're an old man and you sort of fight a young guy and you get lit up like a White House Christmas tree. I mean, Ali Holmes, I can go on and on, Joe Louis and Rocky Marciano. I mean, history has proven me right. Of course, I fear that Manny Pacquiao will end up that way. Anyway, the bottom line is Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are engaging in an 8-round exhibition, I think, 8 2-minute rounds. Big 12-ounce gloves on. They're going to wear headgears. If anybody gets cut, the exhibition is stopped. It will not be scored, I'm told. The bottom line is, it's an exhibition. It's a sparring match between two guys. And yet, the public, I'm talking about the United States boxing public, they feel compelled to go out and spend $49.95 to watch this. That's what I'm told. That's the cheapest price, $50 to watch Tyson and Roy Jones. After watching Roy Jones weigh in yesterday, well, I went and did my road work. I had done my road work earlier, and I said to myself, damn, I'm trimmer than him, and I'm older than Roy, much older than Roy. Roy looks like a fat pig. At the end of the day, you've got a guy on Flintstone vitamins, I think, at the age of 52 years old, Mike Tyson, against a guy that doesn't give a snot in Roy Jones. Bottom line is, $49.95, is it worth it? Now let's go to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber, of course, our own PhD, Mr. Socrates Palmer. And how are you today, sir?
I'm doing fine, Pedro. How are you feeling?
Pretty good. I mean, I don't feel compelled to spend $50 to watch this thing tonight, but Scott Cuddy says that the vibe is a lot of people are willing to spend the money and watch this.
That is the same vibe I'm hearing. I heard somebody talking about it at the gym this morning, even on sports radio here in New York, which never, ever talks about boxing anymore. WFAN. So, you know, there's a buzz. There is a buzz. And much like politics, people are attracted to name recognition. You know, Mike Tyson, Roy Jones, two of the biggest names in the history of boxing. Mike Tyson, a cultural icon, one of the few fighters that has he's gone past boxing. He's and past the sports world. You don't have to be a sports fan to know who Mike Tyson is, you know, and it's a nostalgia factor. And, you know, the also adage is people like to see a car wreck. So let's see what happens tonight.
I don't know. But a car wreck, wait, a car wreck between two bumper cars, like in a carnival? That's what this is. If this is a car wreck, it's two bumper cars in a carnival coming at each other and not a whole lot. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying by two bumper cars? You know what I'm talking about? That old bing, bing, bing. I mean,
yes.
I just don't think that either of these guys are going to have it. I expect Mike Tyson to annihilate Roy Jones. I mean, I expect Roy to try to go out there and flash those hands and Michael step on his foot or do something dirty and get him planted. And then Michael just hit him and it'll be all over.
It probably will play out that way. But the one thing, it's 2 minute rounds. This is taking it back to novice amateur boxing. You know, it's like 2 minute rounds fly by, you know, and will Roy Jones be able to stay on his bike for at least 90 seconds and stay away from Mike? He probably can, you know, he's the younger guy, but I know his knees are not what they used to be. And if he lays on the ropes, he's going to get laid on his back. So,
you know, you're talking about 2 minute rounds. The first fight I lost against Eddie Smith in 1974 was my first 2 minute round fight. And now I'm telling you, my mother said I looked like I was suffering an asthma attack. I mean, so that we went from 1 minute to 2 minutes. Of course, eventually the open rounds will be 3 minutes, but that was a rude awakening that day, bro, fighting in 2 minutes. And I, you know, if you haven't fought in a long time, and neither of these guys have really fought per se in a long time, you know, so it's going to boil down to who's got the least rust and who can hit the hardest. And I think that Mike Tyson sort of has done that. Anyway, we'll get past that just for a second here. Gabriel Rosado was in action last night against Daniel Jacobs, of course. Did you happen to see that?
Unfortunately, I did. And I'm disappointed in both of them. I mean, I really thought this had the makings of being a really good fight, a crossroads fight. A win that both of these guys kind of needed to have, and they really didn't show up until like the ninth round. You know, I was really surprised at the lack of I don't want to say effort, but just the lack of desperation from both guys. You know, it was just a blah. You know, I thought it was a boring fight. They gave it to Danny Jacobs. It was a fight that I personally scored it a draw. And I've said it about a year ago, Danny Jacobs is definitely on the decline, you know, and he looks like $1 million fighting at 168. You know, for his height, it matches his weight, but he doesn't have the desire anymore, or just he's an old 33. You know, I mean, he's been boxing for a long time, you know, considering the amateurs. Danny was one of the best amateurs in the history of New York. And he just doesn't look the same. Ever since the Golovkin fight, he has really declined. And I don't think he beats any of the champions at 68. Benavidez, Plant, or Kalen Smith, or Canelo.
Oh, okay, now that's quick. You said he's old at 33. Is Lomachenko old at 32?
Same ballpark, yeah, I think so. Same and the same thing. Guys that have been boxing for a long time, you know. I think Danny had 150 amateur fights, and Lomachenko had 300.
Four.
And yeah, the 3 minute rounds. You know, I mean, three rounds, four rounds, but it's still training. It's still hitting the bag. It's mileage on the body, and although they both are in impeccable shape and condition, it's not the same, you know, and you can see it. You know, all you have to do is go on YouTube and put some fights, you know, from 2018, and neither one of them are as sharp as they once were.
Well, you know, I woke up stiff this morning, and like when you, most guys wake up stiff, they sort of feel good about it. But I woke up stiff arthritically. I mean, I didn't stretch after the run. After the run yesterday, I used to do this big stretching thing and spend like 15 minutes stretching afterwards. And I sort of lagged on the stretch, and I felt it this morning. So age is definitely setting in here. And, of course, Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, they're up there. And, well, George Foreman won a title at 45. And, of course, you know, there were other guys that came back, like Jack Dempsey did exhibitions all across the country after he lost the famous long count with Gene Tunney and things like that. So, I mean, after the Gene Tunney fight. So, I mean, there's history, like Larry Merchant said, of old champions making money doing exhibitions. The bottom line is exhibitions are just that, exhibitions, and they're not really a fight. So where's the delivery here? I mean, is it all that we expect Mike Tyson to knock him out and that's what we're paying for? Or if we were paying for it?
I think the average fan, yes. You know, they want to see Mike Tyson, I don't know,
recapture the magic
time. Yeah, I mean, you know what? And if he does it against a guy who's been knocked out very recently, you know, I mean, unfortunately for Roy Jones, I mean, he has hung around longer than he should have, and he's gotten stopped by guys that he had no business losing to. He got embarrassed in Australia, and he went to Russia. I mean, his knockout passport has been stamped all over the globe, you know, the last 10 years. You know, sad to say, you know, and, you know, Roy Jones, you know, I don't think it's the money, because I believe he lives very comfortably.
He's cheap.
Yeah, I heard that too. You know, that's not too uncommon from Southern guys, by the way, you know, because I've hung out with Evander Holyfield the same way.
Bernard Hopkins. Wait, time out. Holyfield picked up some checks in my presence, man. Bernard Hopkins, I had to tip the waitress. He wasn't going to tip the waitress one night. He said, no, man, she makes her money. You know,
you can go to school, but you can't buy class, huh?
I don't know what it was. I mean, she had served us all kinds of special food and special fruit blends. She made some juice for him and all this kind of good stuff, and he wasn't going to give her a tip, so I gave her $25.
Well, because, you know, your mom taught you well.
I was embarrassed. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live. Won't be the first time or the last time I was ever embarrassed by a boxer, folks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking through the world of boxing, MMA. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. in action last night. We'll talk about that after the break. Daniel Baugh and Joe Joyce. Joe Joyce, if ever there was a heavyweight I wanted to fight, damn it, it's Joe Joyce. He's on action today, of course, ESPN Plus against Daniel Baugh from the UK. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More time with boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, after the break.
One can wish upon a star.
Two can make a wish come true, yeah.
One can stand alone in the dark.
Two can make the light shine through. It takes two, baby. It takes two, baby. Me and you.
Hardest hustle anything is boxing, though. I don't know what you do for a living, but pretty sure ain't nobody punching you all in your eye. I watched one fight, Roy Jones got hit so hard, my TV moved. He was asleep like he got knocked out of the club. The ref was like 241, 242. Roy was snoring. But he was really knocked out. He was laying there so long, they had to start another fight. Roy was still there. Had to dance around Roy.
1988 silver medalist horse got robbed in the Olympics, no doubt about that. I remember that fight with the Korean, saying to myself, damn, sort of reminds me of Turlock, California. When you beat the snot out of somebody, you say to yourself, there's no way in the world I can lose this fight. And you lose the fight. Well, Roy Jones got the shaft, of course. Should have got the elevator, but got the shaft instead. But he's, of course, in line to make some money tonight when he takes on Mike Tyson in the exhibition. Let's go back in boxing history a little bit. November 27, 1964. Want to mention this because he was always classy around me. Jose Torres, a Puerto Rican, fellow Puerto Rican. KO1, Carl Bobo Olsen. Of course, I introduced Bobo Olsen at his last public event. It was in Sacramento, California, some Hall of Fame up there. Of course, he had Alzheimer's, and they had to elbow him to stand up and wave and that kind of good stuff. So that was a little sad, but the bottom line is he always treated me like gold. Anytime I saw him, Carl Bobo Olsen, or his son. I can't remember what his son was, but he worked out with me at the Boys Club. I think he was working off drunk driving hours for the county. But the bottom line is the Olsen family always treated me well. Edgar Joffe, one of the great champions of all time, no doubt about that. Of course, we're going to talk about him in depth tomorrow. course, he's from down south, a bantamweight champion of great notice. Of course, also on this day, wow, hard to believe it, Oakland, California, 2010, Andre Ward beats Saki Obika. I think I was ring announcer that night. Retains the WBA super middleweight title. Of course, Andre Ward, the son of God, undefeated, retired undefeated, 2004 Olympic gold medalist. Holy cow, that's a long time ago. Anyway, 2004 Olympic gold medalist, walked away from the game. He was all busted up. He had like a dead man's Achilles tendon. They replaced one of his Achilles tendons with that from a cadaver and all this kind of good stuff. So he was sort of like the $6 million man all put together, all put back together that broken up. But the bottom line is he pulled the right time to get out, because guess what? He was starting to fade. Of course, had that first fight with Kovalev, a little shaky, had the second fight with Kovalev, said, this is it, I'm out. Bottom line is Andre Ward, smarter than he looks. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. On the line, of course, from the Bronx Bomber. I hate to eat up his time like that, but of course I'm talking about the great Socrates Bomber, boxing's true PhD. Now, they had a little exhibition last night. I call them an exhibition because the son of Jorge Arce and the son of Julio Cesar Chavez both fought down there in Sinaloa, Mexico. And surprise, they fought stiffs.
I mean, you know, I was shocked. I had no idea that Chavez Jr. was fought last night until you mentioned it just a few minutes ago. Is it that hard to get a regular job in Mexico?
Anyway, he doesn't have to work. And I told him this. I remember the first time I met him, it was in San Jose, California. He didn't even shave yet. And I said to him, I called him aside. I said, you know, what makes you want to box? He didn't have it. He wasn't a rough, tough type of dude. He didn't have the eyebrows. He didn't have the look to his face. He looked like a sissy, which you start with a P. I mean, he looked like a wimp. You know, I'm just saying to myself, this kid, the son of Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., and then of course, he exceeded my expectations, and he did look well in a few fights, there's no doubt about him. He exceeded my expectations without a doubt. He's an overachiever. But when he got to the mountaintop of the WBC, and they created a nice slope for him to get there, he fell off dramatically. And he's never been able to put his act back together again. And of course, the father's, you know, trying to put together exhibitions with he and Jorge Arce. So, I guess the Jorge Arce and Chavez team, I guess Chavez Sr. put some money together last night, put out a promotion, and his kid won a fight. That's what it boiled down to.
Yeah, you know, it's kind of sad because, like, you hit the nail on the head, you know, an overachiever. But, I mean, looking at it objectively, he's not a bum. It's just the fact that he's got the heart of a refried bean. You know, that's his problem. You know, Julio Cesar Chavez, you know, at one point I thought was a credible fighter. And, you know, he didn't know how to handle success, which is strange. You know, growing up in a very famous household and seeing success firsthand. And, you know, he basically got lazy and pissed his career away, you know, with drug use and, you know, just not taking care of his body. And when he faced some adversity, he didn't know how to handle it and has taken the easy way out. And now he's more of a sideshow, you know, but,
crazy things.
It is what it is with him.
Crazy things have happened in the shower. Of course, we'll talk about Bruiser Brody getting slain over there in Puerto Rico. That still blows me away that Puerto Rican, of course, never was charged. Can't remember his last name right now. Anyway, but the bottom line
Estrada.
Is, Jose, was it Estrada?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, he stabbed Bruiser Brody and stabbed him in the locker. And of course, Bruiser laid on the floor there for 45 minutes before they got him to a hospital. And he died basically in the ambulance on the way. That's a story for another day. Anyway, bottom line is, how did I get off on that? But, you know, the shower thing. Oh, that's where I was going from. Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., a referee friend of mine, is going in to give Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. pre-fight instructions at the LA Forum. So he goes into his dressing room, and he can't find the guy. He looks around, you'll see him, you know, and the corner is acting a little queer. And I say queer, I don't mean gay. And they were acting a little funny. Anyway, it turned out Julio Cesar Chavez Jr., now put your hands over your ears here if you're like a virgin, he was in the shower getting laid. He had some young chick in the shower, and I guess they were, I don't think they were laying down on the tile, but I guess, but they were doing some type of doggy type of thing in the shower. This is what he was doing minutes before a fight at the LA Forum.
Wow. That's a,
well, like, come on, no.
Late
wow.
Cardio, you know? Some late cardio, I guess.
I guess so. Anyway, later today, ESPN Plus is going to bring us Joe Joyce and Danny Dubois probably in just a few minutes. Of course, that's coming to us on ESPN Plus. Joe Joyce and Danny Dubois both undefeated. I think Dubois is better the heavyweight here. Joe Joyce is my pick for heavyweight of nothing. And if I was a heavyweight, that'd be the guy I'd go after right now. Am I dogging Joe Joyce because he looks sloppy in one fight?
Maybe, but I mean, it's a really interesting fight that they're having at this stage in their career. They could have easily kept feeding bums to them, but Joe Joyce is a little older. He's 35. And between the two had the more seasoned, amateur background. He's a silver medalist in the Olympics in 16. And looking at his pro resume, although they're not the most impressive, but he does have some good names. I mean, he beats DeVern. And he's had the tougher opponents up until now. Now Dubois, decided to make some money, you know, instead of hanging around for the 20 Olympics, and good for him because he would have still been in the sidelines with Corona.
Whoa.
And he turned pro and is getting paid, you know, to get punched in the face, which is a very smart thing. And it looks like a really competitive fight, an interesting fight that's going to see who's going to be the next in line for the, you know, the next British, who's going to catch the next Brit who's in line to take the torch once Anthony Joshua doesn't want it anymore, or maybe a setting up for a possible title fight against Anthony Joshua maybe next year, or Tyson Fury. It's a beautiful fight, and kudos to the promoters for putting it together, 200-feet of heavyweights. Joe Joyce was 259 pounds. You know, that's, you don't like to see that. And Dubois physically looks like $1 million. And like you, I'm leaning towards Dubois. He's looked a little hungrier, you know, and I'm picking Dubois probably by knockout somewhere in the eighth.
Boxing, of course.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
The heavyweight that I was impressed with was the man that fought last night.
Ooh.
I don't know if you got to see, Majidov.
Talk to him, but talk about him.
He is same age as Joyce, 34. I think he's the goods. His physique, don't go by physique. The man can fight. He throws his punches crisp. Now he fought a guy that looked like a bouncer at some Latin club, a Delgado, Puerto Rican fighter. And he, you know, had no business being in the ring, but you can still make a good, judgment just by watching Majidov's skill level. He's a former amateur world champion. And I think he's 3-0 now, but right now I would put him in the top 10 of the heavyweight division. He is a skilled fighter and a dangerous fighter. And that's someone who's going to make noise, I believe, in 2021.
30 seconds or less. Does Danny Garcia present a formidable challenge for Errol Spence?
I think so. Hopefully Danny comes to win a fight instead of just, you know, be there, you know, for the check. You know, this is a very winnable fight. And that's always been the knock, I think, in Danny Garcia's losses. You know, he's lost to guys that obviously good fighters in Thurman and Porter, but both of those fights were there for the taking. I haven't seen that hunger in Danny Garcia in a long time since he beat Matisse. And if he puts the pedal to the metal, I think he has a very good chance of beating Spence.
Ladies and gentlemen, boxing's 2PhD, the one, the only, the Bronx Bomber, Socrates Palmer. Sock, say hello to the family, the agent. I love you. We'll talk soon.
Love you too, my brother. Peace.
You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, checking your inside look at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. Some UFC action, of course. They can't get a main event. Why can't they get a main event? They don't have any talent. The UFC is hurting for talent. I told you that. Bottom line is Dana White, of course, thought he was going to sell that business for $4.2 billion. He did sell it. But he sold a pink elephant to those people. We'll talk about that and boxing after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer!
Check it. You're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look at the world of boxing. MMA, of course, coming to you now. 36. No, make that 37 plus years. That means we're in our 38th season. Wow, that's a long time to do radio. But the bottom line is, you know, I started the show when I was 5 years old. 38 years makes me 43, so I'm rocking and rolling and still in my prime. Chuckle. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside look at the world of boxing and MMA, of course. November 28th, the UFC rocking and rolling from the Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. It was supposed to be a main event with Curtis Blaydes, I think, and Derek Lewis, but they fell out something regarding COVID, of course. Anthony Smith and Devin Clark in the main event. I don't think they're going to make this go five rounds. It'll be a three-round main event. Miguel Baeza and Takashito Sota are going to go in the co-feature. Outside of that, I don't see any other names on the card. None whatsoever. Of course, UFC hurting for names. That's the problem. Line is they have no talent. Of course, last week, some guy fought for the lightweight flyweight championship, 125-pound title. Of course, nobody knows him because the 125-pound champion of the UFC was Henry Cejudo. Of course, Henry Cejudo was also the 135-pound champion, but it seems like they've taken both those titles from him because Dana White wouldn't pay him that heavyweight money he was begging for. I mean, he needed it. He was a guy. Here was a two-division champion, and Dana didn't want to pay him any money. Of course, Dana's a guy that's notorious for underpaying people. Jorge Masvidal sold out Madison Square Garden, sold out for a $7 million gate, did incredible numbers on pay-per-view, and they gave him $500,000. Oh, wait, they gave him a $50,000 bonus. So the bottom line is he made pennies that day. Of course, that's when he sold out the Garden against Nate Diaz. Of course, Nate Diaz and him going back and forth, that was a decent pay-per-view, made a lot of money. The fighters didn't make the money. The promotion made the money. That's the way the UFC is. The UFC, of course, if you break down the dollar, depending on whose opinion or who tells you, it's between somewhere between 8 and 18 cents on the dollar is what goes to the fighter. And that doesn't sound too cool to me. I mean, think about that. And I'll harken it back to the world of prostitution. If you were a hooker and you were working for a pimp or a manager and he kept 88 or 90% of your money, I don't think you'd work for him too long. But in the UFC, you have no choice because the UFC, of course, is the top dog and they keep saying, we'll give you the exposure and this and that. And then they put you in those death matches after death match and you can't last too long. See, that's what they depend on. Longevity not occurring, not happening. You can't build a legacy getting beat up all the time. You can't, even in the fights you win, you get beat up. I mean, these guys, never a free ride in the world of MMA. Anyway, last week, a guy by the name of Davison Figueiredo beat Alex Perez with a submission, a guillotine choke, 157 into the first round to claim the UFC 125-pound championship. The co-feature, Valentina Shevchenko, was the winner over Jennifer Maia. Pretty good fight there. Of course, Maia can fight. She's from south of the border. I'm talking about Brazil. And, you know, Valentina just continued to be better, one of the better fighters as far as the women are concerned. Outside of that, no other big names on the card. They are hurting for names. As far as the rest of the year is concerned, the UFC got nothing. I mean, they got nothing. They're talking about doing Dustin Poirier, of course, and Conor McGregor. They're going to do it a second time. So it's about January 23rd. I guess that's going to be their next big pay-per-view, per se. Of course, the site's going to be determined. I think they'll end up doing that probably in Dubai. Why do I say Dubai? Because it's easier for McGregor to get to Dubai, and McGregor is going to be the problem here. McGregor is always a problem in a promotion because he's flaky. Sometimes he's in shape. Sometimes he isn't. Sometimes he shows up. He likes to cancel. He likes to call his own shots. If you're not paying him the right amount of money, he won't show up. At the end of the day, Conor is Conor. Of course, one made all that money fighting Floyd Mayweather. That was the last big con, and you guys bid on that one. I can't believe it. Yeah, you bid on, I remember that one? I couldn't believe you bid on that one. Of course, you spent all kinds of money, made Floyd Mayweather a multi-millionaire over and over again, gave Conor McGregor enough money to retire on, of course, and it was a fight between a guy that never fought before in the world of boxing, maybe had a couple of amateur boxing matches, okay, against a master boxer in a boxing match. It wasn't an MMA match, it was a boxing match. So no surprise as to what happened there, was it? No, I don't think so. At the end of the day, old men, it's the same old story. It's the same old story in the world of MMA and the world of boxing. Old guys get lit up. But the fact is old guys last to be old guys in boxing. They don't last to be old guys in MMA. You see very few guys at their peak at, you know, the age of 35 or 38 in the world of the UFC because they burn out early. I'm telling you, these death matches, death to death matches, it doesn't work. Switching gears. Guess who's coming back? Oscar De La Hoya, Oscar De La Fishnets. Of course, remember many years ago when I exposed that thing, of course, TMZ, I beat TMZ to it. Oscar in those fishnet stockings and has shaved his body and put on some, you know, transvestite type of garb and that kind of good stuff. Listen, I don't think there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, that if he wants to do it and he didn't hurt nobody, nobody got hurt. Said maybe, you know, his kids got to look at that on the internet for the rest of their life. They punch it to Oscar De La Hoya, and it comes up Oscar wearing girls' clothes and lipstick. Oh! Oh! And eyeliner. Oh! I kid you not. Of course, this was in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It was one of the sites, of course, of Oscar's romantic interludes with a Russian hooker. I can't remember her name right now, but her and I did some talking, and, of course, she was talking about all the different hang-ups that Oscar had sexually. And Oscar was into plugs. I just put it to you, we'll just leave it to you like that. He was into plugs, and that's what she said. And at the end of the day, I said to myself, ha, ha, ha. Of course, Oscar's still married to that beautiful lady. I mean, she's stuck with him through thick and thin. Give her some props. She has. And at the end of the day, she didn't divorce him. She was close to divorcing him. Of course, Oscar had these issues with hookers and cocaine, all this kind of stuff. Says he's cleaned up his act, and now he wants to fight Triple G. I kid you not. Remember he was talking about fighting about 6 or 7 months ago when COVID hit. He had nothing to talk about. So he said, I'm going to talk about fighting again. Me, Oscar De La Hoya. 1992 Olympic gold medalist. Of course, I was his first publicist. I kid you not. Back when he was an amateur, he signed with Carl DeMay. Carl DeMay was a builder from San Ramon, California. And DeMay had me on payroll as his PR guy. So I got to talk to Oscar all the time. He got to call his house and called Oscar's house and his mother. I think her name was Cecilia. I think it was her name was Cecilia, but we would call. I'd ask for Oscar Telefono, and it was so cool. Oscar would come to the phone, a little, you know, 17-18-year-old kid, all little bit smiles and this kind of stuff. Until you got him in the ring. When I watched him spar with guys like John Montez, who had been knocked out by Camacho, but I mean, he was a decent 10-round fighter, a world-class 140-pounder, and I watched him light him up like the White House Christmas tree. David Kamau was a decent, ranked junior welterweight. He lit him up. I mean, this was an amateur, lighting these guys up like Ray Leonard. He had Ray Leonard-like hand speed with Alexis Arguello, with an Alexis Arguello-like body. That's why I said to myself, watching this kid at 17 years old, 18 years old down there at the Dame Boxing Gym in LA. I mean, he was just an amazing athlete. Of course, when he turned pro, after the 1992 Olympic gold medalist, he was a golden boy. He sort of changed boxing to an extent because at the end of the day, he was the guy that was making all the money. If you had to fight Oscar, you had to give him most of the money. Of course, people like Shane Mosley's wife, Jen, she came to me. I got a $4.5 million offer to fight Oscar in a rematch. Of course, Shane Mosley had beat Oscar in the first time when they fought down there at the Staples Center. I think it was around 2000, somewhere around there. Anyway, at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, California. So he beats him the first time. So they set up the second fight. And Mosley is going to get $4.5 million, but Oscar is going to get a little bit more. And Jen Mosley said, no. You got to give my guy more or we're not going to have the fight. So she doesn't do the fight. She takes a fight with Vernon Forrest and said, I think it was with Vernon Forrest, and she got lit up for like $1 million. She got lit up for $1 million. She wasn't the smartest lady in the world. That's why you shouldn't have your wives managing your careers. But at the end of the day, you know, Shane Mosley and her went back and forth in court, divorce court. Of course, Shane got taken to the cleaners there, at least he says. But at the end of the day, she was his manager. I mean, she called the shots. She really called the shots. And she was a dominant woman. I mean, I remember going to a Shane Mosley post-fight party in Las Vegas, Nevada, and her stopping me at the door and giving me all kinds of crap. I kid you not. Giving me like grilling me at the door. Like, she put her hand up like, hey, you can't come in unless you want to say this or say that. What are you talking about? So, anyway, but, you know, I ended up brushing by her, but at the end of the night, she was a piece of work. Jen Mosley, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We are just a few minutes away, of course, from Joe Joyce and Danny Dubois, these two heavyweights doing battle on ESPN Plus. You need to watch this from the UK. If you've got the app, you got it going on. If you don't have the app, shame on you. It only cost me like $5.99, I think, a month is what it's costing me. And I'm seeing good fights. I get to watch the UFC as well. And, of course, you get to watch, like I say, not the greatest UFC action in the world because there is no great UFC action going. I mean, there's only a couple of fights a year the UFC can put together now. Sort of like boxing to an extent. There's only a few fights a year they can get people up. But people in the world of the UFC think they got this product. They can push it. It's $4.2 billion, $4,200 million what they sold it for last year. And the people that bought it, well, more power to them. But I still think it was the pink elephant of pink elephants, no doubt about that. Today, boxing history. Willie Ritchie Winner of disqualification, Ad Wolgast for the World Lightweight Championship. Man, that was back in 1912. Our, of course, our house historian is Mr. Bill O'Neill, Grandmaster Bill O'Neill. Tony Zale, New York City, 1941, winner 15, George Abrams win the world middleweight title. Sumar, California, 1951. Bobby Chacombe is born. Of course, Bobby the Schoolboy Chacombe, man, what a storied career he had. Of course, he started off as a kid from Pomona, California. They called him the Schoolboy. When I met him, he was hanging out and fighting out of Sacramento, California, because that was the time when he got a massage one time. He showed up, the guy showed up to massage, give him a massage at the Radisson Hotel. He showed up to give him a massage and Bobby fell asleep and he was nude, this and that. And then he woke up and the guy was trying to mount him from behind in a homosexual manner. So Bobby didn't get any more massages after. But of course, Bobby Chacon, his wife committed suicide. I mean, just before a fight there, she didn't want him to fight anymore because she realized she could see the residual effects that were taking place. I mean, that they were so evident with Chacon. Chacon was losing a step. I don't mean just physically. I mean mentally. I mean, he was losing a step mentally. And then, of course, when he fought Bazooka Limon the third time, it was the third or the fourth time. Man, so they got fought so many times up there. But they fought this last time in Sacramento, California. It was a 15-round fight. I had won the Golden Gloves about a week and a half before. This was 1982. So Don Chargan put me up there in the first row. You see me sitting there in the first row. Of course, he wanted to sign Keith Rucker in the 82 Golden Glove Finals. He came down there. He sent a guy down there to sign Keith Rucker. And then I flattened Keith Rucker in 12 seconds. Actually, Keith Rucker did get up after that first knockdown in the first round. It did last a rout. But the bottom line is Keith Rucker got beaten up that night. And that was the guy they all came. They sent people up from the Olympic Auditorium. Forum Boxing sent somebody. Don Chargan sent somebody. And I destroyed Keith Rucker. He never ever fought again. I think I broke one of his facial bones. At the end of the night, don't underestimate me. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it. This is the Saturday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, we come to you Saturday and Sunday. Saturday is a one-hour edition live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211, and like 1,000 other internet platforms. Of course, our podcasts are at iTunes and Google and all kinds of places, as well as Anchor.fm. You can catch all the latest shows at Anchor.fm. Of course, boxing tonight, I guess it's going to be, you know, dominated by the fact that Mike Tyson and Roy Jones are going to do this exhibition. And while I will watch it. I promise you I will watch it, but I won't watch it live. I'm going to wait till it goes on YouTube like 10 or 15 minutes after it's over. I don't care. This isn't a fight. There's going to be no results. I mean, it's not like Mike Tyson wins by TKO 2 or he blows him out of the water in 15 seconds, something like that. That ain't going to happen that way. It ain't going to happen that way, okay? So I don't have to worry about some results and something, me being surprised. It's going to be an exhibition. Now, if Mike Tyson was to knock him out, would I be surprised? No. I don't think Roy Jones catches all that well. Roy's advanced in age, of course, coming in at 210 pounds. This is a guy that probably maxed at 155 to 160 pounds. That was the best of Roy Jones. So 55, 60 pounds heavier than his peak. Mike Tyson, right about weight. Considering 52 years old, 220 pounds, look out. Mike Tyson will prevail here, no doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Nobody can get.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Everyone said, I wish I was in your shoe. The people, the hundreds of people that wish they were in my shoe don't know the tenth of it. If they were in my shoe, they would cry like babies.
Little soul here. I mean, East Bay soul, baby. Greg Adams and company, of course. Greg Adams, Westmore High School, Daly City, California. Class of 1968. Kicking ass. Skipped the Joliet School of Music and decided to turn pro with Tower of Power, and the rest is history. Greg Adams, check him out, eastbaysoul.com. Tomorrow, Sunday, the Sunday edition of Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, talk about November 29th, 2020. I'm going to talk in depth, of course, with the retired HBO godfather, Mr. Larry Merchant, will be here. We'll have a report from Tyson Fury, the world heavyweight champion, the linear world heavyweight champion, the undefeated world heavyweight champion, of course, from the UK and Ireland. Of course, we'll have a direct report from his training camp tomorrow as Kenny Rayford checks in with on Skype. Larry Merchant will be here. And, of course, I'm going to do something I was supposed to do today, and I started to step off it because of the Tyson, Roy Jones type of thing, but it's Tommy Morrison. I'm going to go in depth tomorrow about Tommy Morrison. Of course, Tommy the Duke Morrison, star of the movie Rocky V, of course, a WBO heavyweight title holder at one point in time, was undefeated until he ran into Ray Mercer in 1991. Anyway, the bottom line is, I spend a lot of time around the early part of career. I'm talking not when it came to an end. Of course, it came to an abrupt end with an HIV finding and things like that in the mid-1990s. But in 1995, I guess the zenith was when he knocked out Razor Ruddock. I thought, without a doubt, when he knocked out Razor Ruddock, and referee Ron Lipton might have pulled the plug a little bit earlier there on Ruddock. But the bottom line is, it was Kansas City. We had a great night, and there was no doubt about that. But I'm going to talk about Tommy Morrison in depth tomorrow. Of course, his death, his wife says he didn't die from HIV. If you look up Wikipedia, it says he died from AIDS. If you talk to everybody I know, he died from AIDS and or HIV. Now, Tony Holden, the promoter, of course, from Oklahoma, has a different view on that, and the wife has a different view on that. Everybody's got their different perspective. But tomorrow, I'm going to go in depth with an editorial, of course, on Tommy the Duke Morrison. Now, don't forget, tonight, if you want to watch Mike Tyson and Roy Jones, I suggest you watch it. But I suggest you watch it on YouTube 10 minutes after it happened. Because $49.95, $99.95, wherever it is, don't give them the money. The sting is on. This is a setup, man. This is a sting, a con. You don't want to be con. Please don't be part of the con. Be part of the solution. Watch the fight or whatever you want to call it on YouTube about 10 or 15 minutes after it happens. I guarantee you it will be there. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, 35, make that 37 plus years now of knocking out all bums. My name is Pedro Fernandez. You know, there's a million things you could be doing right now. The fact you listen to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a production of the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, producer Scott Cuddywell, I thank you personally from the bottom of my heart. Don't forget, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, anchor.fm, the podcast, and of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide live, Saturday and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio 211, and of course, a plethora of other internet platforms. This is Ring Talk. Yeah!